So maybe you've heard the phrase, happy wife, happy life. Truth or not, we're going to talk all things marriage on today's podcast. But listen, if you're single, don't tune out because this is also for you. Natalie Grant.
And I'm Charlotte Gamble.
And we are so excited that you are joining us for the Dare to Be podcast. We can be
so we thought we'd talk about something that will probably cause a lot of hilarity and very personal stories. And we thought we'd talk about marriage because I guess we're two old married ladies now, right?
Can you even believe it?
I just celebrated my 25th wedding anniversary.
25, Char.
I know.
Right? The day before I celebrated my 21st.
I know. How crazy is that?
I know.
Our anniversaries are a day apart. And we officially have some miles under our belt to be able to talk about this now.
We could actually take this time to talk about what amazing wives we are because our husbands aren't here to say anything else.
That's right. They don't get to contribute.
No.
That's the way. Yeah, that's right. We just have done this so well.
Oh, my nose is growing if you can't see it.
Our husbands are actually dear friends too. So that's a good thing. And they're both very different. And I think we both have got a lot of stories because, you know, they say that love is blind. And our husbands are not ugly, by the way. I didn't mean it that way. Sorry, guys. No, but, you know, when you fall in love with someone, you know, there's a lot of areas in your life when you fall in love that you don't know. Oh, this is going to be a big deal. When the honeymoon's over, you're going to have to deal with this. And I married a husband that has actually similar personality to Nat. Very strong, very capable. And then Nat's married to Bernie, who's like the nicest next to Jesus person on the planet. Peacemaker.
Total peacemaker.
Softly spoken. Yeah. And so we both have partners that are not exactly the same as us. Let's just say that. Yes. In case you thought we married someone that's really similar, so we've had this easy. No, we both had to work some stuff out.
We have. And on top of it all, we both work with our husbands.
We do.
It's funny. Through the years, I've actually literally had women say to me, oh, I love my husband. I can live with him, but I'd kill him if I worked with him. And I'm like, oh, how do you do it? How do you work with your husband? And the truth is, it's not like it's the easiest thing in the world. Obviously, we're in ministry together. Bernie works with you guys are a little bit different because you're in full ministry, like pastoral ministry together. Running a church together. Bernie at least has an outlet with other artists and creatives. I'm not his only one.
Yeah,
so
can I just say, Bernie has a soundproof studio that he can go hide in.
Guys, we have a soundproof studio in our house. And I tell Bernie when he thinks he's going to work and he's working really, really hard, he's like, I worked so hard today. I'm like, no. You were in a soundproof room. You went on vacation, sir. That is vacation for you. But I know we have a lot of people that just kind of are like, so how do you guys make that work? How do you work together? And, you know, how the amount of time that we've been married, this is unbelievable for me to say, we're like the minority. I mean, it's unusual to make it past 20 years. It's unusual in today's day and age to make it past 10 years. So I think just a lot of people are like, okay, how have you guys made it work?
Right. And I think that's what we want to talk about just for a little bit today. And if you're single and thinking, well, I'm going to turn off because I'm not married. Listen, all the things that we're about to share, you're going to need, my friend. If you're praying for that Mr. Right, when you marry him, you're going to realize there are some things that Mr. Right has wrong. So, and vice versa. So it's a journey. But it's a journey. And I think that's the best place to start. Marriage is a journey. It's not the destination on the wedding day. Oh, we arrived.
Yes.
It's actually the unpacking that then begins of your lives together and then saying, and I think one of the reasons why, you know, we are still here and will be here for years to come is that, I mean, I grew up with an understanding like you did from your parents that, you know, marriage is work and marriage is a commitment. And I think we live in a disposable day and age.
Totally.
Everything is disposable and really sadly, tragically, marriage has become disposable. Yes. Well, I don't like you. We don't get on anymore. So you know what? I'll just try someone else.
Yeah, this isn't working for me. So
right. And we're not downplaying. Obviously, if you're listening to this and you've had a broken marriage and you've come out of a marriage that maybe was abusive in some yes. way, you know, we want you to know that don't listen to any of this with condemnation. We're just talking about what we've tried to figure out over these last 20 plus years in our journey. And so it is a journey. I think we've had to learn to do a lot of things. And yes. let's touch on a few of those. Where yeah. do you want to start?
You know, I think for me, one of the more important things, whether you are single and wanting to be married, whether you're newly married or whether you've been married a long time, I think we have to first of all recognize that Hollywood has lied to us and the fairy tales have lied to us. And I love a romantic comedy as much as anyone. It's, in fact, they're some of my favorite movies. And I love Disney princess movies. Always have. I've got three daughters, so I've seen them multiple times. But I think there's a couple of things that we need to recognize. Number one, I don't know if it was in Jerry Maguire or what, but I think it was Renee Zellweger's character that said, "You complete me," or did he say that to her? Mm-hmm. I don't remember who said it to who. I just remember somebody said, "You complete me." And I think number one, nope.
Right?
No. That's the first thing. Cross that out. Like right. say, nope, that was great for a Hollywood script. That is not real life. Right. You cannot look to another person That's to right. complete you. Because if you go into marriage, I think that one of the main reasons that marriages fail are unmet expectations.
So true.
And you put an expectation on a marriage that actually that person would have no business even meeting that expectation for you because another person cannot complete you. You have to be complete in Christ and realize you are a whole person coming together with a whole person and together, you're an incredible partnership. But one, you got to kind of like throw some of those one-liners that we've had out, or the idea that a Prince Charming is going to come riding in on a white horse to rescue you from your life, rescue you from your loneliness, rescue you from your insecurities, rescue you from the dating world, rescue whatever it is that right. you think you need rescuing from. Again, another person is not built to rescue you. Right. Only Jesus can rescue you to the point where you actually are fully rescued. And I think some of those unmet expectations of going into a relationship. So for me, you know, we didn't get married young. Like my mom and dad have been married over 60 years by the grace of God, because my mother had to get a permission slip signed by her parents. She was 17 and a half when she got married. I'm like, I hope none of my daughters are listening. They know that, but we don't bring it up often because I'm like, it was unusual. It was very, very strange, right?
My parents
so
got married.
And they're still married,
and 17,
right?
Still
which
married.
Is crazy that,
47 years.
You know, that they're still married. But I also think it's because they were a part of a generation that began to understand the importance of commitment, that you make a commitment and that commitment isn't even just to one another. It's a commitment to God that you honor to one another, but you're really honoring it to God. And so, you know, for me in the beginning, it was realizing I cannot expect my husband, Bernie, to complete me. Mm-hmm. And that isn't something that I knew necessarily on the front end, but I do think that in our relationship, one of the things that has really made us work is that I work hard and so does he to take the pressure off of expecting the other person to meet our needs.
Right.
Like, this is my need and right. I'm going to need you to meet it. And then when you're not meeting it, I'm really dissatisfied with our marriage because you're not meeting my needs. And I think starting out your marriage, if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I'm engaged or whatever, right from the beginning, take the pressure off.
Right. I think one of the things that I would throw in there is that, you know, marriage is the coming together of two different languages.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, it is very true.
I think you don't realize, oh, we don't speak the same language.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was a shock.
Yes. Yeah, there's a shocker.
So you mean when I say this, you hear this?
Because let's be honest, they hear something very different.
When I say the laundry could do with picking up, you didn't hear pick it up immediately. Oh, there'll be no, you know what?
Yeah.
what do you mean you by this? You know
you,
what?
You didn't know that that's what I said? And he'll say, no, I just thought you said, hey, did you notice there was some laundry on the floor?
One other thing, maybe don't use you know what as a punishment or a reward. Let me just throw that in for free.
This is true. This is true. These are things you learn, people. These are things you learn. Oh. But I did not have a clue that we would speak such different languages. And I think there's so many marriages that get in trouble in this area. And we've had to get to the place where I'm like, okay, repeat back to me what you think I just said. And I'm amazed at the interpretation sometimes that comes forward from what I thought was really clear.
Very, very clear. How could you? I didn't even come close to saying what
exactly.
You think I said.
Exactly. So I think, honestly, so much of our marriages can get in trouble because of a lack of willingness to just do the work when it comes to communication.
Yes.
Communication is king. It's king. And even if I don't like what you're saying, I need to figure out why you're saying what you're saying. And, you know, find out the why behind, you know, why something's being said. You know, why do you feel that way? Or why are you saying that? Or why are you asking for that? I think we had to learn that when we first got married. There were so many arguments that could have been avoided if we'd just taken the time to learn how to communicate. You know, I would have so many things that I was assuming in my communication. You know, I remember when we first got married and I just literally had finished being a student and I didn't like my job. Steve was like in his dream job in ministry and I hated the job I had. And so I would get home early from work and I would be like, why aren't you back yet? Like, where are you? Like, it's 5 o'clock on the dot. I'm here because I've had a horrible day. And I would say to him, you know, I'll see you for dinner tonight, me thinking he would be home at 5 at the table making dinner for me. And he's like, I just thought we would get dinner whenever I rolled through the door. So I was like, every night there would be this until I was like, okay, when I say I'll see you for dinner tonight, what do you think I mean? And then when he said, I think you mean when I show up, we'll figure out what we're going to eat.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second.
Wait a second. You know what I'm saying? So I think some marriages, you know, it's that commitment to communication that you just got to go back and do the work on. Maybe you have to sit with a counselor. If your marriage has got to a place where you're not even communicating, don't be embarrassed about that.
No.
I applaud every single couple that go and get counseling and get help. What they're saying is, it's worth the work. It's worth the fight. And I think that commitment to learn how, you know, you teach your kids how to speak, don't you? You teach them how to communicate. You teach them how to read. And you got to relearn all of that skill set when it comes to two becoming one, like the Bible says we can be.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things I've learned over the years is that obviously because my personality is so polar opposite to my husband and the way we communicate is polar opposite. And even the way that we fight is different and the way that we get over it. Like I am a quick burn. Like I'm angry. I'm upset. I say it and then I'm over it.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, let's move on. I'm going to forgive you. You forgive me. Only that's not how he's like still in the wreckage back here. Like trying to pull himself up out of the rubble. And I'm like, you know, I can literally sometimes be in this long drawn out because he likes to talk about things and he likes to talk long and he wants to look at it and examine it and process. And I'm like, I have to be honest. I don't remember what we were fighting about. So literally it'll be like 3/4 of the way in. And I'm like, I can fight with you because I'm good at it, but I don't remember why we're fighting. And so it's just, we are so different in the way that we're wired. I think that one of the things, however, that's, you know, helped us be successful in our marriage. And I think, you know, I don't want any of you that are listening to think that number one, we've got perfect marriages because we don't, but we do have successful marriages.
Yeah, we do.
We have marriages that work and happy and we love one another. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that's just put on for Instagram. It's actually real behind right. closed doors. We love each other. And yeah. I think there's a couple of things for us that have really helped us have a healthy and successful marriage. One of that is making the decision that I'm going to stop thinking about what I need him to be for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to spend my time thinking about what he needs me to be for him. Mm-hmm. So when I can focus on, hey, what does my husband need? Sometimes I can look at our differences, and it used to build resentment in me because it would be like, oh, why aren't you better at this, this, right. this, this? But then when I would stop and I would allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does, which is reveal and convict, it'd be like, well, wait a second. You're strong in the ways that he's weak. And so you're actually an incredible helpmate for him. And in the ways that you're weak, he's strong. So even though it's not a completing of one another, it is a helping
like
of one another.
Yes. Each other instead of
and when you can see it like that, mm-hmm. instead of concentrating on and focusing on what he's not doing for me, and instead of I'm going to focus on the strength that I can be for you and what a gift that is. And then I think another thing that sometimes, and I can say this for Shar and I, and this any marriage that I respect and look at that I'm like, okay, man, I look at that marriage and to me, that is a marriage to model. Mm-hmm. They all have something in common, and that is they still give the best investment to one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that even though our kids take our time and take our energy, we don't do it perfectly, but we always come back to our marriage is actually more important. And when right. I say that, I don't say that I love the marriage, or it's not a matter of saying, well, my kids aren't important. But when I have it in that order that I'm investing in my marriage because it's actually going to make me a better parent, it's going to lead to healthy mm-hmm. kids when they see that healthy marriage. And then even more importantly than that, it's the time that I invest in outside friendships. Mm-hmm. And outside friendships are important, but I've always been so confused when I am with a girlfriend or Bernie's hanging out with a guy and they're like, oh man, I just can't wait to get out of the house and go spend time with my, you know, guy friends or to go spend time with my girlfriends. And I think that that means that you're allowing another group. Right. Friends are important. Friendships are important, right. but there is no more important investment of your time than in the friendship right. with your spouse.
Right.
And I can say with sincerity, Bernie is my best yeah. friend. And that didn't happen overnight. It's come with a decision yeah. to invest in that friendship.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. You know, Steve and I often say that, you know, that we love spending time together. In fact, my husband, one of the things he's loved about the quarantine and the COVID yes. virus is that his wife's home.
Same.
Like she's not on an
same.
Airplane. She's not going
exactly.
anywhere. He's like, I may never let you leave ever again. because, you know, we love each other's company. And that doesn't mean that it's always that we agree on everything and see eye to eye and everything. But, you know, sometimes that is the fun of marriage. It's
yes.
just figuring stuff out. It's building. And that's one of the things, you know, I think a lot of marriages get lost when they forget that there's a purpose to our marriage,
yes.
right? It's like any great friendship is going to have a purpose at the center of it. If it's just attached to, well, I like you, you like me, then eventually those feelings can change. But what holds you is purpose.
Yes.
And so it's building together. You know, we're building a life together. You know, we looked at our life the other day because we had our 25th year anniversary and, you know, Hope in a year's time is leaving home.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm like, we're going to have one child left at home. And, you know, he didn't particularly want to hang out 24/7 with his mom and dad. You know, he's got yeah. friends. He's going to do his life. So before you know it, we're back to just the two of us, which is
yes.
crazy, which is why you got to put that marriage at the top of the priority.
Yes.
But it's in all of those students saying, okay, what are we going to build? Like, I think every marriage, we should have a dream that we're building together.
Yeah.
We should have goals that we're setting. Like, we're already saying, we want to go see this, or we want to go do that, or we want to plan this event or celebrate
yes.
this moment. I think sometimes marriage can become all work and no play.
Yes.
And it's really important to remember, no, we're friends and we're building a
yes.
life, and we should celebrate the landmarks that we build and celebrate the moments. And that adds joy, and joy is strength. And so I think just like you would, I think sometimes when people say, I can't wait to get out of here to be with my friends, it's because they associate that friend with fun,
totally.
Celebration, and relationship. belief, and this, and they associate the marriage with work, bills, jobs,
yes,
roles,
totally,
functions. And so, but when you add the fun into the marriage, you're not looking for it from somewhere else to have that relief. I mean, well, I'm all about, we have, you know, best friend, girlfriend here relationship where we're hang out as mates, and but it doesn't replace our relationship with our husbands. That's not it. You know, I don't say, oh, I can't wait to be with Nat because I need to get away from Steve. I've never felt that way.
Right.
Because me and Steve do fun stuff together, yes, and plan fun stuff. So I think keep the fun in your marriage, even in the hard times. I'll tell you a funny, funny story. When we first got married, Steve and I had quite a few arguments over quite a few things. I mean, remember, people, he's American, I'm English. I mean, first of all, he drove on the wrong side of the road. Second of all, he didn't understand any of our appliances. And third of all, he didn't even speak the same language. So we already were off to a testing time, okay? But I remember when we got married and we fell out, and I was like, how do I just get him really, like, you know, how do I get him back? Like, I was like, well, you know, I can't say bad words, and I can't, you know, we're pastors, we should do better. And anyway, one of the things that he hated about the English lifestyle is, in England, a lot of people dry their clothes on a clothing line, yeah, right? You've, yes, seen those, like, yes, in the yard, which he thought was really strange already. He was like, why would people hang things so that everybody can see them?
The neighbors can see your clothes. Right. Like, why would you do
so
that?
So on this one particular day, we'd had an argument, and I guess it was a bad one, because I was like, what would annoy him the most? So I went and got every single pair of his underpants, his underwear.
And you hung them outside?
And I hung them all across the line between our house and the neighbors. And he drove the car up the drive, and I could see his face. It was getting bright red. He didn't even come in. He just ran and pulled them all up. And I was like, okay, I'm just letting you know that I have ways of defeating this argument. So keep the fun, people. Keep the fun.
I laughed a lot.
He didn't laugh.
I don't know whether to encourage people to do that or to say, and in closing, don't do what she did.
Hey, we're still together.
It worked. He forgave her. Oh, listen, marriage should be fun. It's not all fun, and it's not perfect. And I know that so many of you are listening that are laughing and agreeing and excited. Some of you are listening and you're heartbroken, yeah, and disheartened, and you feel like, oh, I don't know that there's hope. And so we just pray for you, yeah, in this moment. And we, you know, it's funny, a long time ago before I was ever married, I read a book by Stormy O'Mardian called The Power of a Praying, mm-hmm, Wife. And many of you have probably read that book. If you haven't, I would encourage you to, because it's really powerful when you think, okay, I don't know what else to do because I'm not getting through to my spouse. Begin to pray and watch God actually open the door for reconciliation, yeah, because I'm telling you that it's possible. And just kind of make a decision, you know what, I'm going to do something unexpected, mm-hmm, or I'm going to just say, let's sit down, maybe after dinner, even when your kids are awake and they're around and they see you doing it, let your kids see you investing in, mm-hmm, your marriage. Say, hey, let's not do the dishes right after dinner. Let's not do this. Let's not do all the to-do list. Let's let it wait. Let's sit for just 15 minutes. Just set a little timer on your phone. Say, let's just sit together for 15 minutes and give each other time to talk and ask your spouse about their day, yeah, and kind of what they're feeling, what was hard and what was great. Yeah. And just even start with conversation. And Lord, we just actually in this moment, take a moment to, yeah, pray for marriages. Remind us to pray for our spouses, actually, that we need to pray and believe and build them up spiritually through our own prayer life. Lord, remind me to do that for my husband. But God, we also pray right now in those marriages that are hurting, God. Yes, I pray for healing, supernatural healing. I pray for a supernatural mending where, mm, there's been such brokenness, God, that you are able to restore. You are a redeemer. It's, mm, what you do. And you take the old and you make things new again. Yes, and so I ask for that spark spark of newness to be in marriages that have felt dead for a long time. I pray that you would bring that spark for those that are listening, that are waiting for that mate, God. You see the desires of our heart. You see us and you know us and you love us and you are a good father. So I just pray that you would bring that wholeness to a heart that kind of feels empty and lonely right now, that you would bring that wholeness and that we would lean on you in all things and for all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And would you follow us on social media? You can do that at Dare to Be. We can be